if the developer doesn't pay, it's still treated as a tax lien. From the developer's perspective, what really happened with them is they didn't pay their taxes. So they're going to be foreclosed on by the municipality. From our perspective, what we care about is we are getting paid back our principal and interest.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show, to the naked truth about real estate investing. I am your host, Javier Hinojo. And before we get to our guest, I just want to remind everybody that we have our upcoming mastermind, February 9, 10, and 11 in Guanajuato, Mexico. So there'll be some links below. Go to my website, javierhinojo.com, and you can go and check out the mastermind. 3 days, a whole bunch of real estate investors, a lot of commercial real estate investors. You got people who got money, who got deals. Go pitch a deal, go find a partner, go place money in somebody's projects or partner with somebody. We'll be happy to see you there. It's tons of fun. So enough said. Now we have on the show today is Xiao Yan. No, is that close enough?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay, awesome. Well, he's on the show today. And he's going to talk about what his company does to help multifamily developers, and which is perfect because we just had a meeting with one of these town and they want us to build some apartments. But go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. Hey, everyone. I'm Xiao Yuan. Javier, thanks for having me on the show. I am the managing director of a company called Hageman Capital. So Hageman Capital is a subsidiary of a company called Hageman Group. So Hageman Group is a family office, which is really kind of a fancy word to say what we do is we help a single family invest in different product types. Specific in this case, it's the Hageman family. So Hageman family's roots were in Northern Indiana, and from Remington, Indiana. So Steve Hageman, the patriarch of the family, started a seed company with his cousin and his dad called Remington Seeds. And so by the time that Remington Seeds sold in 2013, they had about, you know, close to about 20% of the market share in U.S. wholesale seed corn and soybeans. So when Remington Seeds sold, created a liquidity event for Hageman Group to invest in commercial real estate, to invest in sort of traditional stocks, equities, bonds, things like that. Now, Hageman Group is specifically an entity that's created to help the family invest in commercial real estate. And so since 2013, you know, we have invested in over $400 million of commercial real estate. And, you know, sort of plans to do more and more as the years come. So Hageman Capital is a concept that was bred from really our expertise in commercial real estate. So as we were beginning to partner with large multifamily developers in the Indianapolis area to look at, you know, potential, you know, new really ground up deals or redevelopment deals, we noticed that there was a lot of tax increment financing involved in these transactions. So tax increment financing is a tax incentive that the municipality provides to a developer to really bridge the gap of what a real estate development project would cost versus what a real estate development project needs to cost in order for it to be, you know, really feasible. So what the municipality does is it provides a tax incentive on the taxes that you would generate from your, you know, multifamily build, right? So if you had vacant land, doesn't generate a ton of taxes, but if you have a 200 unit multifamily apartment building, generates quite a bit of taxes. And so the delta between the taxes when it was just vacant land versus the taxes in the future on 200 units of multifamily, that is the increment that the municipality is essentially allowing us to capture for a period of time. And so Hageman Capital, what we do is we monetize that increment. And so instead of sort of capturing those increments over time, we write the developers a check upfront on day one, typically prior to construction start. So they would use that into their capital stack. In return, we would be paid principal interest based on what the future taxes of the project would be. So really, I mean, we found that, you know, this is a space that in some ways, we were already in. There were a few projects that we were the limited partner on that had tax increment financing. So inadvertently, I was engaged prior to me joining Hageman Capital. I was in capital markets in a prior role to that, and to sort of help and structure one of these transactions. And so that was sort of where this idea, this concept of Hageman Capital came about. So we started purchasing tax increment financing bonds in really late 2021. So within the year, you know, we've closed in over $40 million of tax increment financing bonds, you know, really sort of our inaugural year. So, you know, we think this idea has a lot of legs. We really like the risk profile. We're a group that understands real estate and understand TIF financing. And so it really fills a niche kind of what a developer needs, especially now, in order to kind of get a project off the ground.
All right. I got a lot of notes here. A lot of notes. So let's back up a little bit. So you said you worked in the capital markets before. So what exactly does that mean? You worked in lending, financing. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah. So I was in capital markets for a large regional commercial bank that was based out of Cincinnati. And so my focus in the capital market space was, you know, I primarily did high yield municipal financing. Okay. So what that meant was, you know, TIF kind of falls into that. You know, these are typically unrated bonds, so they fall more into the high yield space. So prior to this, you know, we did a lot of transactions involving municipalities, which might not have had the most stellar credit, or, you know, worked with, you know, sort of non-rated bond transactions.
All right. So basically, unrated bond is that a nice way of saying like a high risk or higher risk?
It doesn't necessarily, have to be a higher risk transaction. You know, high yield, I think, is specifically in regards to, you know, sort of a higher risk, right? Okay. So, you know, you occasionally would have a municipality, let's say, borrow money that's, you know, maybe a AAA rated municipality, but, you know, they may not go through the rating process because it may be a very fairly small transaction. You know, that wouldn't be high yield, right? Okay. They're very high quality credit. Those were also not the customers that, you know, I would focus on. So whereas, you know, if you talk about, you know, a non-rated TIF bond, that's kind of what we would consider high yield, lack of liquidity. There's sort of potential project risk associated with the bonds. You're not supported by the full faith and credit of the municipality that's, you know, giving you the TIF. That's kind of what we consider high yield.
Okay. Interesting. Perfect. All right. So kind of give me an example, right? So walk me by through this process, right? Like, say, like I'm 3 years old, right? So kind of give me an example. Somebody has a project. So basically, when you guys come in as part of the capital stack, basically you guys come in as a limited partner, or how do you guys come in, right? Capital stack is your financing, right? Maybe you have some investor money. Maybe you have a fund putting money in, and maybe you have you guys putting money. So it's just, you know, capital stack is basically where you get your money from.
Right.
It's like how you stacking up your financing.
Sure. So, you know, our capital typically comes in and is treated like equity, but we do not get, you know, we do not get equity returns. And so what that really means is, you know, when you're going out to finance with a traditional commercial lender or construction lender, they expect that your equity is in place, right? But for the bond investor, what we're really doing is we're buying these bonds in advance, but our return is purely based on the cash flow of the bonds, right? So we may put a discount value on the bonds, but, you know, we're not really exposed to the risk of the real estate itself outside of, you know, kind of the construction risk. But we also don't get the upside of the real estate if, you know, if NOI, let's say, much higher than expected, or if lease up is quicker, or if there's a refinancing event, you know, we don't really get sort of the
upside on that.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So then walk me through a project. So you guys do this all over the country, or just in Indiana, surrounding areas, or where do you guys do this?
Yeah, so right now, you know, all we're doing is in Indiana. I think the plan is we want to expand into what we would consider sort of other TIF-friendly states. So states that, you know, have TIF as a major part of their capital stack. So an example of how a project would look like with TIF is, you know, I would say TIF is typically, let's call it anywhere from 10 to 15% of the full capital stack, right? So if you have a $50 million project, you know, you can assume, hey, maybe $5 million of that will be TIF money. And the other $45 million will be a combination of either equity or debt, most likely, right? So, you know, what a typical capital stack will, you know, look like for us is, you know, let's say it's a 70% loan of cost project on a $50 million project, right? So $35 million of that would be debt. $5 million of that would be equity, $5 million of that would be TIF equity, which we would provide. And sort of the remaining $10 million may be raised from GP, LP, combination of, you know, potentially other tax credits. But that's really kind of how a capital stack would look like, right? So when we say, you know, TIF is really looks more like an equity, but, you know, you're not getting, you know, the TIF investor is not getting equity return. That's sort of the distinction is that the money comes in relatively around the same time as the equity, but the return is really essentially capped by whatever the taxes would be.
Okay. So what size projects are you guys working on? You mentioned 50 million. So do you guys have a minimum, a max, depends on the project?
Yeah. So, you know, for a TIF investor, you know, typically we like to be, you know, we like to do projects essentially about $1 million of TIF and up. So, you know, for just being a TIF investor, right? If you're thinking about, let's say I bought a TIF bond for $1 million, that's probably a $10 million project. So that may be kind of a good way to think about it at a minimum. Whereas you talk about a $50 million project, I mean, I would say that's a pretty average size of project that we're looking at for TIF. Perfect. And I think the issue is, you know, if you get much smaller than that, a municipality may not be able to justify whether, you know, allowing developer to capture TIF on a relatively small project. And if you get much bigger than that, really, you know, you sort of have other avenues of liquidity. You have a sort of a TIF of, you know, let's call it $20 million. You know, that's a $200 million project, right? There's sort of a lot of other partners that are in play. And so, you know, I would say the deals that we've really been very successful in has been anywhere from $30 million to, you know, $150 million of cost of construction.
Cool. And then you guys only come in if there's some kind of tax benefit or tax credit, or how do you guys determine if it's a project for you guys?
So TIF, I mean, is really granted by the municipality. So for a lot of developers, I mean, they know right off the bat, you know, if there's going to be TIF or if there isn't going to be TIF, right? For us, I mean, we really come in when there is a TIF bond to monetize. Typically, a bond is kind of just it's sort of like a token or a note that says, hey, you own this amount of cash flow that, you know, it's fungible, but, you know, it's also sort of securitized by, let's say, the taxes that the real estate generate, right? Without kind of this instrument, if you're just paying taxes, what it does is, you know, the municipality would just capture those taxes, right? So the bond is really the vehicle in which, you know, or a note is really the vehicle in which you're monetizing.
So you basically leverage the town or the county, or they're leveraging their future taxes, right? I guess.
Correct.
Collect on the property. So what happens if the town can't pay, right? I mean, do you guys foreclose on the property, or it just doesn't happen? How would that work?
Yeah. So really what happens, I guess the risk side of it is if you think about it, right, the TIFs that we buy are on single projects or a single property or single site TIFs, right? So it's really one owner, one developer that's responsible for the taxes. And so if the developer, let's say, just doesn't pay, right, even though, you know, this taxes are assessed at a level that, you know, that meets, let's say, our debt service, if the developer doesn't pay, it's still treated as a tax lien, right? You know, from the developer's perspective, what really happened with them is they didn't pay their taxes. So they're going to be foreclosed on by the municipality. Right. We as a TIF bondholder, I mean, we typically, in most cases, right, it's not necessarily our right to foreclose. It's more sort of a municipal side of it, right? They need to be able to foreclose on the property so that they would get the tax payment. But from our perspective, right, what we care about is we are getting paid back our really quote unquote principal and interest. So in some instances, right, that may be sort of an action through foreclosure. But I would say that's really sort of the most common remedy if, you know, somebody, the taxes are assessed, right? What's more likely, though, is that, you know, you would typically have a construction lender that would be behind. So as a, you know, sort of as a TIF investor, you're a holder of a tax lien. What the bank is not going to want to do is let, you know, a $5 million of the capital stack wipe out their $35 million of capital, sure, into the project.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They're not going to foreclose. Yeah.
Yeah. So more likely, they're not going to let the project foreclose. And so instead, they're going to, you know, pay the taxes and sort of seek remedies outside of sort of the municipal remedies.
Yeah, that's pretty, it's pretty good. I mean, I've kind of heard about it, but not, you know, in this detail, but, you know, it is pretty safe, you know, because you do have, usually you do have a lender, right? Who's not going to want $35 million of their money going away for tax bill, right? And they'll work it out. So it's definitely pretty safe. And then you also got the city, so...
Well, I would say the municipality, I mean, it's typically on these projects, they're not going to support the project with, you know, their balance sheet, and that's kind of the idea, is that, you know, there was a history of the municipalities doing that. I would say a lot of municipalities in Indiana have kind of trended away from it, either for policy reasons or just, you know, financially just doesn't make sense. Right. So, you know, this is kind of why Hagaman Capital was created, was that we saw this trend, found that investing in these TIF bonds really made sense for our portfolio as a family office. I mean, we're very long-term buyers and holders of assets. It's so ultimately, right, I mean, I think we think of it as relatively, you know, there's kind of an imbalance between, you know, risk and return on some of these projects. Now, granted, some of the return, I mean, has to be compensated just based on, I would say, the lack of liquidity. You know, if I buy one of these TIF bonds, I mean, I really can't have the expectation that I'm going to be able to sell it very quickly, right? Or at all. And so, you know, some of it is, you know, you do have to price in sort of liquidity premiums, but, you know, at the same time, I mean, if we didn't believe in the product, we wouldn't buy them, right? I mean, we think of it as a relatively safe investment that, you know, makes sense for our portfolio.
Well, it's crazy because I have a property in Indiana. And we just had a meeting with the city, and they're really pushing for us to build a multifamily there, right? They're very friendly. They say, hey, whatever you guys need, this is where we really want that, you know, piece of land, that property to become. But they've been pushing it, you know, pretty hard, right? And they're like, you know, so they're willing to do something, right, to help with the cost and things like that, which I don't really know what it is, right? So very interesting, because I know they have power to possibly give you some grants or... no taxes for a while or whatever they decide to give you, which is pretty good. So we should ask if there's a TIF available, huh?
I don't want to give you advice on how to sort of proceed with your deal, but you know, I would say for a lot of municipalities, I mean, TIF is kind of the lowest hanging fruit. They don't have to write you a check. You know, it's sort of more of, hey, you need to go and seek out your own check, right? You need to monetize it or leverage it in a fashion that makes sense for you. But I would say, you know, your situation is pretty typical for a lot of developers that are looking to sort of, you know, build greenfield projects. You know, right now with costs being so high, the quality of product that a municipality may want that, you know, passes their architectural review boards are going to be a lot higher than sort of what developer really can finance or get investors at, right? So what a TIF does is, you know, it bridges a gap, but the gap is really the return gap. What the project needs to return in order for, you know, LPGP investors to do it at all, and what the return needs to be for a bank to finance it. So that's kind of why, you know, TIF is really one of those tools that spur economic development activity without, you know, sort of the municipality having to just write a check on day one. You know, and I think those are kind of, I would say for most municipalities, TIF is it's easier to sort of provide than just writing a check or providing a grant or, you know, things of that sort.
Awesome. So how does somebody get a hold of you guys? Or let me ask you this first. How do you find your customers, right? Your clients, right? How do you find those guys?
You know? Yeah. So, good question. I ask that question myself sometimes, but we do have a pretty, I would say active social media presence on LinkedIn, Hagaman Capital on LinkedIn. We do get some traffic from our website, which is HagamanCapital.com. But primarily, you know, I think it's been word of mouth. We have done a lot of LP and GP investing with local developers. So we have built a reputation that, you know, we are in the real estate space. And so when we built out Hagaman Capital, you know, there's sort of a wide influx of developers reaching out to us, asking us, you know, if we'd be interested in looking at their TIF. And so that's something that, you know, I would say has benefited us, at least in Indiana. But, you know, I think as we're looking to expand into other states, you know, some of the developers we work with are more national developers. So there's an advantage there, but also, you know, word of mouth, I think, is always key, right? It's making sure people are aware of what we're doing, how we're doing it, and sort of what is the benefit to them on utilizing somebody like us.
Tell me those websites again so we can put it on the show notes.
Yeah. So HagemanCapital.com to learn more about our TIF efforts, HagemanGroup.com to learn more about what we're doing in the family office side, and we're on LinkedIn as Hageman Capital.
And then what about your, your LinkedIn? What is your LinkedIn?
So my LinkedIn is just my name, XIAO space OU space YUAN.
All right. I'm typing this in. All right. Perfect. So I just think I connected. There we go. I just connected with you. Bam. All right. Great. Awesome. All right. Well, this is definitely very interesting. There's just so much out there in real estate that people don't understand. Different ways to finance your projects. You know, you get some credit from the city, grants from the government. You can get your investors, your LP investors give you money. You know, your bank, your bank can give you some of the money. And then you have someone like your company that can come in and also be part of that capital stack. There's just so many ways out there. And this is just one more thing you can add to your arsenal, right? When it comes down to funding some projects. So that is pretty cool. So anything else you'd like to add before we transition to the favorite part of my show?
No, I think we covered a lot. I mean, I would say, you know, if any of your listeners want to learn more about TIF or, you know, what we do at Hageman Capital, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm generally open to talking to anybody. And, you know, I really love talking about TIF.
Awesome. All right. So I'm going to share my screen. Let me know when you see my screen. And this is the favorite part of the show for me. So what's going to happen here?
Give me one.
I'm going to ask you, this is called the Naked Truth Roulette. All right. So I'm going to ask you just three random questions. Got nothing to do with what you do. It's got nothing to do. It's not going to get you fired nowhere. I don't think it is. Just three random questions. Okay. Just about, and it's just in general, right? You're a super smart guy. You're all about finance numbers, talking about how to get creative, you know, to structure your projects, you know, part of the capital stack, all this stuff. But we just want to know some basic common stuff about you. You ready?
Sure.
All right. First question. Do you have any tattoos?
You know, unfortunately, no. You know, I think in Asian culture, it was somewhat frowned upon when I was a kid. So my parents, you know, scared me quite a bit with what happens when you get a tattoo. But as you get older, you're kind of thinking, oh, maybe I should. But no, I just never got the itch.
Well, you and I in the same boat. I don't have any tattoos. I'm 43. And I thought about getting tattoos. I just never got around to doing it. Like, I got to go in line. I got to get there.
If you did get one, what would it be?
So I asked my wife, because my wife wants me to get a tattoo. And she's like, honey, can you get this tattoo? And she shows me a picture of The Rock. You know, it's like his whole body, you know, like, no, like, honey, like, give me something small. I don't know. I probably, I have no idea. It'd probably be somewhere around my shoulder or my chest. Maybe outside part of my bicep. I don't know what I would get though. I guess it has to be something meaningful.
Yeah.
So I really haven't put much thought about what I would get, but maybe at some point I might get one.
Maybe wife's birthday or kid's birthday or anniversary days. I've seen a lot of those, you know, I mean, I'd say that's meaningful, but I don't know. I mean, if I got one, maybe that would be it. But I don't have any intentions of getting one, at least right now.
Well, that would definitely take some thoughts. Time to block out and just really focus on what do you like to do, right? So I have a buddy of mine who's got a lot of tattoos. He's like, man, how do you figure out what do you want? He's like, I get in line and by the time I'm next, I figure it out. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. Anyways, all right, let's roll. Next question. All right. What is the last show you binge watched?
Okay, so I got two answers. All right, right? One is I would say like maybe more acceptable. The other one is just, I would say it's kind of funny, but my wife and I really enjoyed the show. So my wife and I are currently binge watching Friends. Which I mean, I don't know how well it ages, but you know, I mean, I remember it being on when I was a kid, you know, like kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s, but I didn't remember much of it. But you know, we're currently binging that. But the last show,
how is it actually? Pretty good.
Yeah, it holds up. I mean, obviously, you know, as a kid, I mean, you really didn't understand some of those sort of the more off the cuff jokes. But I would say, I mean, I get it now. I understand why people really like the show. And the other show that my wife and I recently just finished watching is Gilmore Girls, which I think she watched it growing up. And then so it's been on TV. And so now I'm just like, oh, I gotta watch it with her. And that's what I tell people, at least, right? I may secretly enjoy the show too, but you
that's
know,
okay. Awesome. Cool. All right. I'm going to give you the last question for you. Here we go. All right. It's kind of in between, but I think I'm not going to give you the favorite food. I'm going to give you the other one. In a zombie apocalypse and you have three people on your team, who would you pick?
Oh, man. So, yeah, you know, this is tough. I would say, okay.
All right, let me make it easy. You can't pick your spouse. How about that?
Oh, I wouldn't pick my spouse for a zombie apocalypse. I mean, like, you know, I think if the goal is to survive and, you know, to thrive, right, you gotta be more strategic, right? So, right. You know, zombie apocalypse, I would definitely pick my friend John. He's one of those guys that has, you know, 18 different hobbies. He collects cars. He was a Division I golfer back in the day. He does woodworking. He plays hockey still. He doesn't watch TV, so he has all of his time for all his hobbies. He gardens as well, right? So, I mean, I think I'm covered there, right? Just the guy who's just a, you know, MacGyver of skills.
Awesome. He can garden and smash skulls with his hockey stick.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's pretty good with a gun. You know, we were out shooting a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the guy's definitely very talented. So yeah, I would say him for sure. You know, I would say guys that fall into that camp would be my dad for sure. And some of it is, you know, you just, when you're an immigrant, you're just resourceful. People like that just know how to survive. So, you know, he'll figure it out, right? Put him in an unknown situation where he doesn't, you know, speak the language and doesn't know anything about anything in this country, and he could survive. I think he'd do well in a zombie apocalypse. Now he's in his 60s, so I don't know, maybe that would hurt him a little bit, but I would say I'd still pick him. You know, last person's kind of tough. You know, obviously you can't say yourself, right? But, you know, I would say, oh gosh. You're making this really hard for me.
How about somebody famous?
Well, let's go back to the Rock theme, right? I'd probably pick the Rock, you know? Yeah. I mean, that guy looks like he can lift heavy objects. So, yeah.
For sure. That would not be a bad one. Awesome. Hey, I appreciate you surviving asking these questions and surviving the Naked Truth Roulette.
Oh, hey, you know, that was that's pretty interesting spin, no pun intended.
Podcast show. Oh, for sure, man. I just love to throw something in there. Like, you know, I don't like to be ordinary. Think, you know, just kind of think outside the box. And everybody out there, doesn't matter what profession you're in. You can be, you can be a brain surgeon. You can be the, you know, I don't know, the leader of some free country out there, man. We all are still people, right?
Right.
We all still binge watch. Maybe we don't all binge watch Gilmore Girls, right? But
oh, come on.
Maybe not, right?
If you're not, you should, right?
But who cares, man? Like, that's what you like to watch, man. That is awesome, right? Like, what's the last show that I've binge watched? I think we saw, we saw Lord of the Rings on Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, right? And Working Moms, this is a show from Canada. That was pretty cool, too. It's actually pretty neat. That's called Working Moms. But, you know, everybody has their own kind of style, their own personality outside of work, right? So, anyway, that was pretty cool, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, it was fun having you on the show, and make sure all your contact. We'll make sure your contact information is down below. And I really appreciate your time. And again, thanks for being on.
Yeah, Javier, appreciate you having me. Really enjoyed it, and you know, good luck with your podcast. Really appreciate it.
Awesome, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for listening. Go check out my social media, my YouTube channel. Got a lot of free content out there, a lot of cool stuff. I am Javier, your host. Don't lose your shirt. If you are getting involved in larger projects, or you want to get involved in larger projects, you want to grow your network, you want to hang out with people who think like you, who act like you, who want to grow together, who are going to cheer you on, right? Hang out with winners so your wins don't sound like you're bragging. People that you feel comfortable with, who have the same goals and vision, and are going to help you get there, because at the same time, they'll get there as well. This is definitely a mastermind for you. Don't let anybody ever tell you got to start flipping houses, you got to start wholesaling, you got to own a rental. You can do commercial real estate or large projects or flips, doesn't matter, right off the bat. So if you already have experience in real estate, awesome. If you got experience in business, awesome. If you got some professional background, you're an IT, banker, lawyer, we still like our attorneys, don't worry. CPA, whatever you can bring to the group, just apply for the mastermind. We'll have a chat. and we'll make sure that it's a good fit for each other. So what do you get out of this? We do 3 meetings per year in exotic locations. Most of them are going to probably be in Mexico. The next one's in Guadalajara, Mexico. We're going to have a great time. It's February 9th, 10th, and 11th. But I'm going to tell you the best part about it is this is a structure. We have a social the first day on the 9th. And then on the 10th, we do from 9 to 1. We have some speakers coming in. We don't pitch anything. We don't sell you anything. We don't upsell. So speakers share, they pour their heart out. Maybe how they raised $20 million with funnels, or what do they say, or how do they go from 100 units to 1,000 units, or how do they have 600 million in warehouse under management? You know, what do they look for? What their strategy is? What's working for them? How to get creative on making offers? Whatever it is that helps us with our real estate business and business in general, we're going to chat. I bring in high-level speakers, or even sometimes some folks from our group will go up there and share what's really working for them. So if you want larger deal flow, if you want folks to help you raise money for your projects, we got some great capital raisers. If your project fits that model that they have, they will gladly raise millions of dollars for you if it fits their project. So I can't guarantee, they still gotta like you. Can't be an asshole, gotta be likable. You gotta be trustworthy, but you wanna grow, you wanna come in and partner with folks because you possibly have connections and you have pretty deep pockets, just a great network, or you wanna just hang around with like-minded people, it is awesome. And bring your partner, your significant other, your spouse, right? My wife and I, we host the mastermind and we love to host people. We wanna make you feel at home. Best part about this is we started a Spanish Billion Dollar Boardroom Mastermind Latino. You have to have a million liquid to join that one. We got folks who have construction companies in Europe and Mexico, some guys that build stadiums, one of the founders of like Cisco in Mexico. We got a pretty high level group, and that mastermind starts on the 8th. On the 9th, we all combine Spanish and English. It'll be in English, and we all combine and we connect, we rub elbows. The best part about this is you can stay for the whole event. You can get here on the 8th. It's all Spanish. Okay, on the 9th, it's pretty much all Spanish until the social in the evening. And then we have the 10th and the 11th is in English. And then we usually hang out a couple of days after just to have fun. Anybody wants to hang out. So what is the investment? It's $1,375 per month. That includes 2 people. I take care of everything. Just get your plane ticket, book your hotel, and I pretty much take care of the rest. Oh, and we have bi-weekly calls and Facebook group. We got some software we give away, like 20 grand worth of stuff that you get for getting involved with our mastermind. Want some more information? Click the link below, fill out the application, and let's have a chat. Just go check out the website. Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback. Not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks for everybody. It's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's a really cool Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.